I remember them calling out 2:30, you know, meaning we were on pace for a 5-minute mile. That was the last thing I remember. And what happened after that, after I had finished the mile, I actually collapsed and went into cardiac arrest. And I died, lost my pulse, and they were able to bring me back. I see this as my second life. I literally died and came back, and this is literally my, I know that I'm here for a reason.
The Happy Healthy Human podcast will help you build your happy, healthy life. Your host, Paul Levitin, is a board-licensed health and wellness coach, nutrition coach, personal trainer, and behavior change specialist with over 10 years of experience helping people create positive life change. Each week, he discusses topics that will help you understand yourself, why you do the things you do, and how to take steps to create the life of your dreams. He talks with experts from therapists to addictions counselors, coaches, trainers, CEOs, financial planners, and more. If you've ever wondered how can you become the best, happiest, healthiest version of yourself, you've come to the right place.
Dom Fusco is a health and wellness creator, the co-founder of Upspace, and the host of the Pure Ambition podcast. His mission in life is to inspire and empower 100 million people to become the healthiest, happiest versions of themselves. This podcast was recorded 3 weeks to the day after a major health event that, as you heard briefly in the intro, had Dom nearly lose his life and forced him to undergo major surgery just to be able to live. Now, not only is he alive, 3 short weeks later, he is out of the hospital, he is moving, he is back doing his podcast and social media, and he's using his story to inspire others to act, to make the most of their time, and to take nothing in this life for granted. I know Dom personally, and he is such a good person and inspiring to say the least. I'm so excited for you to get to hear his story. And if this inspires you like it did me, please make sure to share this with a friend. This is a story that more people need to hear. And with that being said, here is my conversation with Dominic Fusco.
Where does your mission to inspire 100 million people to live healthier, happier lives come from?
When I was a junior in college, I was coming off a torn ACL. I was a college football player, so I was coming off a torn ACL. That was the first real like physical challenge that I had to overcome. There had for sure been other things that I had to overcome and endure and deal with in my life. But that was the first time. The thing that was so important to me, the thing that was most important to me, which at the time was football, was taken away from me. And that had always been my release from family struggles, from school stress, from whatever else I was dealing with in life. It was always like I would just turn to athletic. When I tore my ACL, that was the first time in my life where I couldn't do anything. My world came out from under me. No way for me to like release from the stresses and the anxieties that I would feel on a day-to-day basis. I had to just show up, and it literally was like learning to walk again. It was like being a baby again, learning to walk again. And so from that point, I saw that if I just show up every single day and do my physical therapy, and I'm going to get better. And I could see myself getting better. I could see myself getting stronger. And that for me was eye-opening. You just compound, it's the compound effect and compounding interest in terms of anything in life. And for me, it was health right there. But it wasn't true health still. It was still performance oriented. I still just wanted to get back to being, you know, a football player. And I still didn't know how to eat. I didn't have a good mindset. I didn't have any mindfulness practices. I wasn't doing like the personal growth, personal development stuff. But that whole process, that 9-month, 12-month process of coming back from ACL surgery really just fired me up and opened up a lot of my curiosity. And that all led into COVID. So, you know, all of a sudden, I'm at home. I was drinking with my buddies on Zoom one night. The next morning, I woke up hungover, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I just was not happy with the person that I was. I was like, dude, you're wasting so much of your potential. You have so much more to offer to this world. Started with a lot more harsh self-talk than that. But ultimately, like, I made a decision with myself that day. I made a deal with myself that day that the day before, like, you know, that person that I was, like, I was no longer going to be that person, and I was going to take full control and responsibility for, you know, my health, for my happiness, the rest of my life. So from there, ultimately, I could see myself getting better each day and progressing each day and staying consistent with the physical therapy, staying consistent with the diet and lifestyle. And, you know, before you knew it, it was like an addiction in healing myself and getting myself better. And that was when I saw, oh, when you take care of yourself physically, it pours into all other areas of your life. It pours into all the other buckets. And for me, I wanted to give that to the world. I saw what health and wellness did for me when I prioritized it for myself. And I wanted to give that feeling to others that, like, you can go from this place of like hopelessness and just self-pity to a place of like true empowerment and just feeling excited about life and all the opportunities and all the things that you can accomplish. And I wanted to give that to others. And that's how it started for me. And now, you know, has since evolved to really diving deep into media and content creation and using my platform as a way to inspire and empower 100 million people. At first, it was like a million people. And then I was just listening to some, I forget who it was, saying, you know, I think it was Alex Ramosi's when I first got introduced to this content, saying, okay, take your goal and 100 exit. And I was like, okay, well, I say a million people, it's got to be 100 million people. And I don't think I'm going to do it myself, but it's like, again, the ripple effect of, like, you know, I inspire and help somebody else, they go do it to other people, and it just creates this ultimate web and this domino effect of just goodness happening in this world.
Yeah, 100%. I really appreciate you explaining your whole backstory. And I think it's very similar to, well, one, it's similar to my story. I wasn't an athlete, but the same way that you kind of found health for yourself, and then you realize, like, well, this feels good for me, why wouldn't I want to share it? And it's, you know, healed people heal people. I think that you find that all the time. People who are spreading this stuff, whether it's meditation, whether it's breathing exercises, whether it's fitness, it's like I have figured out the secret, and it's not a secret, but now I can help other people get it. And something that you mentioned in there that I'd like you to expand on a little bit more is the difference between performance and health. And I think that this is something that confuses a lot of people, because I think that we naturally assume that peak performance is peak health, and those two things are the exact same thing. So can you explain what is the difference and how we should be looking at these things?
Yeah, one of the most impactful things that I learned, there's this thing called a triangle of awareness. At one corner is health. At one corner is aesthetics, and one corner is performance. And when you're thinking about a goal for, you know, physical health and wellness or performance, whatever else it is, put your dot somewhere on that triangle, and then that is how you're going to eat. That is how you're going to train for that desired goal. You might look shredded with a 12-pack as like a, and 2% body fat as a bodybuilder, but that doesn't mean you're healthy, and that doesn't mean that, like, your performance is going to be well. Like, yeah, you look really good, but you're not lifting a ton of heavy weight. You're just literally training to look good. And for performance, Matt Frazier, fittest man on earth, like 5 times CrossFit Games winner, like, he knew that what he was doing to get on the CrossFit Games podium to win that, he knew that that was not the epitome of health. You talk about hearing him in his training, his coach was having him drink, you know, Coca-Cola and Snickers and like Gatorade and all these things during his training sessions, because he's trying to perform at his best. Whereas, like, yeah, those, like, the easy sugar and carbohydrates, like, that's going to fuel you for these crazy performance work driven workouts that you're trying to accomplish, versus general health, where health and longevity, where it's like, okay, let's focus on eating you know, whole foods. Let's focus on getting lots of clean protein and getting nutrient dense foods and, you know, timing carbohydrates around workouts and getting them from, you know, whole organic things like fruit and honey and sweet potato and things like that. Versus if, you know, if you're just trying to, if you're trying to finish like an, a 100-mile ultra marathon and win that, or you're trying to, like I said, win the CrossFit Games, or you're just really performance driven, it doesn't really matter what you're putting in your body as long as it's fueling you to get that desired goal or outcome. And I think there is a way to mix health and performance, but if you want to be like the absolute healthiest person possible, or you want to be the highest performer possible, one of those two is going to take a hit a little bit.
Like you just said, there is a way to mix it, but you have to understand that it's going to be sacrificing on one or the other. It's the same thing as everything. Any extreme takes you away from the middle. So if you want to be the extreme of performance, you're going to have to go away from that actual health side thing too. And this is a classic example of this is, as you kind of said, bodybuilders. But people will look at a bodybuilder and assume because they look a certain way that they're healthy, but bodybuilders usually are the opposite of health. Female bodybuilders will lose their period because they are eating so poorly. Male bodybuilders will literally starve themselves and will go through injuries and a ton of things that are wrong with getting to that level of appearance takes a level of extremity, I don't know, that is not actually healthy. And so I think it's good to just point that out because for someone who's not initiated in this stuff, someone who's not educated, you think that all of these things are the same, that an ultra marathoner, because they're skinny, that they're inherently healthy. And it's like, well, maybe they are, or maybe that they're just running so much that they're going to have a knee replacement at 35. And you know that they do that for their sport, but it is something that is in the long term detrimental. And if your goal is just to be healthy, I like you use the word longevity, that's what it to me is all about. It's not about in right now, it's about 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road. So I know that's something that you've been very involved in. And I think that now is a good time to talk about your recent health situation. So could you just explain for people listening what happened to you a few weeks ago and just kind of jump into it from there?
Yeah. So, I mean, literally, I mentioned to you, I'm just grateful to be able to be here talking to you. I'm grateful to be able to have this platform to share my story and what happened and, you know, inspire others through it, through the story. But so 3 weeks to the day, actually, 3 weeks to today when we're recording this, I went out to the Austin High School track with a couple of my friends to time our miles. We're going to do a mile time trial. And I was like, all right, yeah, cool. Sounds like a good time. That's my idea of a good time on a Saturday morning. So went over to the track, you know, woke up, nothing different than what I would typically do on a Saturday morning before workout. Woke up, had a big glass of water with electrolytes and then a banana and a bunch of honey. So I knew I was going to need those carbs for while I'm running fast. And then, so we get over to the track, do a quick, like, you know, 15, 20 minute warm up. And then my two friends who I was there with, they first went and they ran their miles. And then my other friend and I, we went together just to have somebody to pace with. And I really don't remember anything after the second lap. I remember them calling out 2:30, you know, meaning we were on pace for a 5 minute mile and we were moving. So that was the last thing I remember. And what happened after that, after I had finished the mile, I actually collapsed and went into cardiac arrest. And I died, lost my pulse, and they were able to bring me back with CPR. One of my friends who was there knew CPR, and then there just happened to be, by the grace of God, a firefighter that was on the track that day with his son, who kind of took control of the whole situation. And I still have yet to find who this mysterious firefighter was. I got to track him down. But Yeah, I it wasn't like a typical cardiac arrest event where somebody just like drops and immediately goes into cardiac. Like I finished the mile, and from what my friends told me, because obviously I don't remember any of this, I just like fell over and went purple, had like seizured out and lost pulse. They immediately started doing CPR on me. And while my other friend called an ambulance, and luckily they were able to get a pulse back. I wasn't breathing under my own power, but I was able to get a pulse back, and the ambulance came and they rushed me to the hospital. And after that, put me on a ventilator, put me in the ICU. I woke up in the hospital the next day, you know, around 24-ish hours after it happened, after they put me on the ventilator. And I was finally able to breathe under my own power. They had tried to bring me off it a couple times throughout the night, and it didn't. I wasn't able to. But I finally woke up in the ICU the next day. And again, that whole day where I woke up, like I was on so many drugs that from being in the intensive care unit, and so I really don't remember much that day besides having people come and see me, and I was just being so emotional and just crying and just. Like wondering, really not being able to process what had happened, just absolutely crazy. And then I was in the hospital for a week after that, just getting tests done and talking to different doctors, electrophysiologists, cardiologists, wondering what happened, why this happened, why my heart went into arrhythmia, which is an irregular heartbeat, which causes cardiac. And they still haven't been able to pinpoint one specific reason as to why this happened. They have a few theories. So I still have a lot of tests to be done. I still have a lot of doctor's visits and a lot of just research to be done as to why this happened to me, because I really don't have an answer as to why it happened. But I see this as my second life. I literally died and came back, and this is literally I'm here for a reason, and my mission has only grown stronger over the past, you know, 2 weeks since I've been out of the hospital. And I'm just, again, when I think about it, when I look at the pictures of me in the hospital, I get really emotional. But I know that I'm still here for a purpose and for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. Obviously, literally insane. You're a young guy, literally the epitome of health and fitness, right? You're just talking about being a college athlete and running marathons and running ultra marathons. And I know how well you eat and take care of yourself. So this is the type of thing where it's quite alarming. I appreciate you sharing this story. And I mean, really 3 weeks is, you know, it speaks to your level of dedication, mental fortitude, physical well-being, that you're even doing something like this just a few weeks out. You know, plenty of people would still be recovering in the hospital. And I know that you were, you know, up and walking just, you know, a day or two later, and then out of the hospital within, you know, a week or so. So it speaks a lot to, I think, the general level of, you know, the importance of the base level of health and fitness that we are able to keep, because there's no doubt that that is what allowed you to rebound so quickly. But I mean, as you said, literally you were dead for a time, right? This is literally your second life, which is, you know, wild to think about. And I'm curious, I know this is still very fresh and, you know, this might be a loaded question, but how has this changed your perspective going forward, and what, you know, is different now for you since going through this literally life-changing experience?
Yeah. Like I mentioned in the beginning, is like, I'm just so filled with gratitude every day. And when I open my eyes, I'm like overflowing with like I get to wake up today. You know, I get to work on my passion projects. I get to, you know, do all the things that I get to do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. Like, sure, I can't go for a run, but now I can go for a walk. I can't hop in the cold plunge, but I can still take a cold shower. You know, I get to do this. I get to connect with great human beings and share my story on different podcasts. I get to, you know, work with a ton of cool people, connect with a bunch of amazing people, and just I think about all the things that I used to think of, like, oh, check them off the to-do list. I have to do this, I have to do that. Whereas now I just see them as like, I get to do it on a day-to-day basis. Like, I'm so grateful for every human interaction that I get to have. I'm grateful for, you know, like I said, like, I can get up and I can go for a walk and I can cook myself a meal and I don't have any brain damage, which is so common with people who go through cardiac arrest. So, like, I'm going to be able to get back to doing what I love and, you know, physical health, physical fitness. But the perspective that I have now is like, this is just like a new season of life. It's the rebirth. It is my second life. And I have all of these goals and dreams and aspirations and people that I want to impact and things that I want to do in this life and legacy that I want to leave. And it's just given me this newfound, like, almost like sense of urgency every single day to not take a single second of it for granted and make progress on those things, no matter how small that progress may be. It could just be taking it. Like, for me, it was, I have this long-term project that I want to work on that has been in my mind for so long that I tell a ton of my friends about that, like, I want to bring to fruition, but, like, for whatever reason, like, I just hadn't done it yet. And so, like, step one for me was just to take out a piece of paper and just outline some ideas of what I had for this project. And you start doing that, you build that forward momentum. It's like, oh, like, okay, now I know, like, the next thing that I need to do for this. And you feel like, okay, it's out of my head and it's onto paper. And, like, I'm bringing that out into the world. Right. And so I just think that also a lot of the things that we bring on so much unnecessary stress, anxiety in our lives. And I just have this like outlook now, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it could all be gone tomorrow. Like, all the dreams, aspirations, goals, think, like, again, impact that I want to have, people that I want to meet, things that I want to do in this life, place I want to travel, all that was about to be gone. Like, that could have been gone, right? And, you know, when you think about it that way, the fact that we are given an able body, like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you may be out on a walk, or you're driving to work or whatever else, you know, you're doing, just, like, take a breath and just think about your odds of being born as a human are like 1 in 400 trillion. And no, you know, you're like, the odds of getting a second chance at life are even slimmer than that. So I just feel like I am so lucky just to even exist and, like, to have gone through what I went through and then to be back here. So it's just given me this, to answer your question, it's just given me this newfound sense of urgency. It's allowed me to detach from the fear of dying. I don't feel fear dying anymore. And I just want to leave this world better than I found it and continue to impact as many people as I can. Because at the end of the day, what? Like, is life all about making all the money, or, you know, getting all the cars, or doing all these, having all these bougie, like experiences? Like, no, it's about real human connection. It's about living a good life as long as you're lucky enough to be able to, you know, walk this earth. And that's really what it's all about. I've detached more from the materialistic desires that I've had a lot, and it's all impact driven. Like, everything in my life now is driven by impact.
It's interesting. You know, obviously you're talking about how lucky and fortunate you feel, and that sense of urgency. I can understand how, you know, this would kick everything into overdrive. It changes your perspective on everything. But you realize, you said how lucky you feel to have survived this and to have a second chance at life. And, you know, to me, I'm thinking now, obviously I've never been through anything close to this, and I can't speak for you, but it sounds like, to me, it's almost like, in a weird way, you're lucky to have gone through this, as crazy as that sounds. Because if you're saying that after this radical thing that happened to me, this traumatic event, right? And this is why I think this is important, because, you know, it doesn't have to be a near-death experience for anyone listening, or a literally death experience for anyone listening. It's a hugely traumatic event that shook you to your core. And now you're saying, like, I can't wait anymore. I have to do these big projects. I have to shift my focus. I have to do these things. If you hadn't gone through that, who knows if you would have gotten to this point. It might have taken you 10, 20 more years. You might have gone through your whole life, like many people do, having these dreams, these ambitions, these goals, these things that you feel like you could do, should do, would do, but you never actually take the huge leap to go do it. And it takes, for many people, to make a change, hitting rock bottom. You talk about someone who quits smoking cigarettes, someone who quits drugs, someone who is extremely overweight and then chooses to lose a lot of weight. So whatever huge change, it usually takes a huge push in the opposite direction for us to rebound back. So this was that thing for you, for better or for worse, right? It's hard to look at something like that as a quote unquote positive. And yet here you are talking about all of the change that you're about to make, how you're going to affect more people's lives, how inspired you are, how lit up you are, how all of this stuff that's going to come out of it. So I'm just curious for you, if looking at all of this stuff that you have been through, from your injury as a college athlete, from those dark times during COVID, all the way up until this, like, have you seen a trend in how you kind of bounce back from these seemingly negative events and how they impact you positively?
They're just lessons. They're all lessons. And every dark time I've had in my life, everything I've had to overcome, there's always been a bright side to everything. There's always been a lesson to be learned from each of them. And I think life is not this destination that we should be trying to reach. However, just view it as like this quest, this adventure, where you're just hitting checkpoints along the way. Or, you think of it like a game, like you're always going to go through, you got to beat the boss, or you got to, cross the river, or you got to, do that hard thing, or you might lose, you might get kicked back to square one, or you might get knocked off your track or knocked off your path. But ultimately, every single thing happens for a reason. Like, I trace being where I'm at right now in life all the way back to something very traumatic in my life, which was, like my parents going through a really bad divorce when I was in middle school. And if that never happened, every single thing that has transpired from that point to now would not have happened. And so, as much as that sucked at that time, and I was angry at the world, I was angry at God, I was angry at my parents, that was all. Everything that transpired after that, leading up to this moment in my life, was absolutely all necessary, and there's a purpose to it. And so every tough time, I don't see it as something that's going to last. I just see it as this new season and a new chapter in your life. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to, we're all writing our stories. And people love stories of people who are able to go through tough times and overcome something. That is the way that I look at my life. And I think we should all look at our lives and be grateful for the struggle, because at the end of the day, it's just going to make for a really great story when you're able to get through it.
Yeah, this is my perspective on everything as well. It's exactly like you just said, that your parents getting divorced, everything that has happened since then is a direct result of that in some way, for better or for worse. And that's why, for me personally, I can never look back negatively on anything that has happened, no matter how negative it was in reality, or how badly it affected me, or how tough it was in the moment. Everything had to happen exactly the way it did for me to be where I am now. So for me to want anything to be different is for me to say that I want my life to be different, and I would be trade that for what I have now. And that's never going to be the case. So everything to me happened exactly as it had to, exactly as it should, because it did. And here I am, where I am right now. And that to me gives me always a lot of solace. It's like, it's not good or bad, it just happened. And if I can look at the past that way, I can also look at now that way, where if everything that had to happen that way for me to be where I am now, whatever I'm going through right now has to happen for me to get to wherever I'm going in the future. Right? And it's just like you said, everyone wants to hear the story of someone who's gone through a struggle. It's the hero's journey. No one watches the movie of guy has everything, guy keeps everything, guy dies with everything. It's guy has everything, guy loses everything, guy gets everything back. Guy starts with nothing, guy gets everything, guy loses everything, guy gets everything back. Guy wants girl, guy doesn't get girl, guy gets girl, guy loses girl. Like it's those ups and downs that make the story. No one cares about the story that doesn't have that thing. That the student athlete who was put in all the best prep schools and then went to the best college and then had the best trainers and then gets a full scholarship and then gets a good job. It's like, okay, like who cares? The person who comes back from an injury and rehabs it, the person who didn't have all the best training but still manages to do it, these are the things. And again, it's not about stories, it's about like that's what matters. We inherently don't want to know about the things that don't take any struggle, because we all know somewhere in a deep human level that struggle is what creates the human experience. Someone who's never struggled is someone who's not interesting to talk to. You're at a party with someone who's never gone through anything. You're just like, this person has nothing. This person has no substance. I need to go through things to craft myself, but I also want to be surrounded by people who have had their own adversities and triumphed, because those are people that I can grow with and I can learn with. And you know, that's something that I know that you are very passionate about. Even before this event, accident, I don't know what you want to call it, before this, your whole business and a lot of your podcast is about building community. And I know that even now, going through what you've gone through, how important and impactful it's been to have your community rally around you. So I'm just curious how you think about building and curating and crafting a community and the importance of that.
Yeah, I think going back to that time of during COVID, right? It's like, what were we all searching for? We're all searching for, like, we all wanted to be part of like something. You know, we have our run groups or our workout partners or our teams or our clubs, whatever else it is that is just, again, taken away from us. We all wanted that connection. I think we're all craving that connection. And for me, it's like, when I think about building community, I think about building tribe. It's like making people feel a part of something, making people feel loved, making people feel empowered, and knowing that they don't have to go through whatever they're going through alone. Not saying it's like it's this big like therapy session or whatnot, but you know, a group of people who are trying to run their first marathon, like that's a community. That's people who you can lean on for support and who are going to be there for you, right? Like when I think about building community, it's just that it's about building love. It's about spreading love. It's about spreading joy. And it is really just empowering these people to become the happiest, healthiest, most fulfilled version of themselves. That is my ultimate goal. That is why I'm building community. And that is what I ultimately want to accomplish with my endeavors on a day-to-day basis. And really just inspire and encourage people to lean into their curiosity, because when you do, it opens up this whole new door and perspective. But kind of, you need that push. You need that kick in the ass from people sometimes to, you know, take action on that thing that you want to take action on, or bring that dream to fruition that you want to do, or even just like to have some sort of encouragement, not just like having the community, but trusting that community, like to be vulnerable enough to open up to them when you need something, because that's why we're all here. We're all here to help and support one another. Like you don't have to go through what you're going through or try to carry the world on your shoulders alone.
Yeah, that's huge. And it's this weird thing of like, it doesn't make it easier, but it does. Like you just said, running a marathon with a group for the first time, it's like you still have to run the marathon. So no one's going to carry you through it. And yet somehow having someone next to you, and someone who is even maybe at the same level as you, someone who hasn't done it before, someone who's struggling just like you are, it feels better. And we can find that in every regard. They're having a shared experience takes some of that mental load off of us, and we can spread it out. And that's what humans are for. That's what other people are for. That's why we naturally feel better when we're surrounded by others. And this is just a natural human phenomenon that I think that when we can learn to lean into it,
rather than try to, you know, we've had over, especially for the last several generations, it's that westernized American culture of like, I should be able to do for myself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, figure it out. And, you know, that's it. And it's like, there's some value in that, but not really, because it goes away from what we're meant to be in as humans, which is a community and a group. So I appreciate you and what you're doing and what you're building, and you're trying to promote that, and how you're creating that online in real life, person to person. Super proud of you for doing that. And the last question that I would love to hear your perspective on, same question I ask every guest on here, is if you had one action step that you can give listeners to start living a happier, healthier life today, right when they take their headphones off, as soon as this episode ends, what would it be?
Something that I mentioned earlier on in the podcast that I did just again recently, and that's something that I do whenever I need to just take that first step on something that I'm having a little bit of resistance on for whatever reason. And that's just to take out a piece of paper and just immediately start writing all the thoughts that you have on your paper about a specific thing. Like for me, it was, I have this concept called Dom Does World, where basically it's a mix between like Yes Theory and like Zac Efron's like Down to Earth, where like I'm going to different cultures and I'm exploring them, and I'm spending time when they're seeing what being healthy and healthy means to them, and like documenting that, sharing that, and you know, inspiring others through that. And I had this, like, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go to all these, like, I'm gonna go to the tribe and hunter gatherer tribe in Tanzania, and I'm gonna go spend time with people in, you know, Greece and the Patagonias and all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, if I keep thinking that big and that far out, I'm not ever going to take the first step necessary. Like, I'm trying to go A to Z here, and I just need to go A to B. So I literally just took out a piece of paper and I wrote out like, what is the first step? What is step one? And then it was just like, I wrote down just like, Austin, I'm in one of the fittest cities in the world with so much diverse culture. And then I was like, what else is close? So I wrote down Houston, wrote down San Antonio, wrote down Dallas, I wrote down all the places that are somewhat close to me. And then I started saying like, okay, you know, what are the things that are going to could go into this video? People, you know, health, food, exercise, like all these, just started writing things down. Before I knew it, I had like an outline for the first episode, right? And so that was a big thing for me, was when I started this whole personal development journey, was journaling and just writing down what I wanted to accomplish or what I was feeling. And one thing that's always just stuck to me is like, get it out of your head and onto paper. So I would tell people, just take out a piece of paper, write down that thing. Don't be judgmental, like no matter how big or how small that goal is, and just write down what the first step is going to be and how you're going to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's not about jumping straight from A to Z. It's going from A to B and then B to C. I think that is the epitome of a real action step right there. I appreciate that so much. So Dom, I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm so appreciative of you being here only 3 weeks out of a huge health event, and just connecting with everyone and sharing your story with the listeners. I'm sure people are going to want to get to know you, and I'm going to have links for everything, for your podcast, your Instagram, all in the show notes. But where's the best place for people to connect with you if they want to learn more?
Definitely Instagram is the best way to connect with me. If you look me up on any platform, probably there, but that's where I'm hanging out the most. But Paul, I appreciate you, man. This was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you giving me the platform to share my story.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I had a great time.
That's all for this week. Be sure to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss a beat. Support the show by sending this episode to a friend or leaving a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Stay happy, stay healthy.